This RFM podcast was brought to you with the support of New Zealand On Air.
Star Safari.
Star Safari.
Star Safari.
Star Safari.
Star Safari.
Deep Sky Adventures.
In the universe.
Deep Sky.
Deep Sky Adventures.
Star Safari.
Star Safari.
Star Safari. Star
Safari. Well, welcome to iSpace and Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
So, amazing year we've got planned. Of course, you can predict most things in space. One of the things that's unpredictable, of course, is the aurora. Other than we know it's going to probably happen a bit more while the sun's at the solar maximum. So last year, we were really lucky. We had, well, two really amazing bouts that we saw of the aurora. And there were some lesser ones as well, but two really good ones. The one in May, which was spectacular, and another one, I think it was in October sometime. But the moon was out for that one, so it wasn't as great, but it's still pretty amazing. And this year, already, we've had one reasonable bout, wasn't it?
It was beautiful, yeah.
Yeah. We probably missed one because of the clouds. I'm sure most of you have noticed the diabolical weather we've had lately. Certainly summer started off as summer, then it abruptly switched back to winter for a bit. So hopefully it turns back to summer. But good for the garden, good for the farms, good for the water tanks, plenty of water around. not too much at this stage, so that's a good thing. Too much of a good thing can be a bad thing, right? So we did see a really cool aurora the other night, fleetingly, as the clouds parted on one of the very few clear evenings we've had lately.
It was wonderful, and we managed to take some pictures as well, which, of course, you're going to find them on our website and on Instagram at Star Safari. But aurora is a phenomenon that can be observed anywhere in the world, and a lot of people here... A lot of people here say Australis. So when you talk to them, instead of saying aurora, they say Australis. And what I wanted to clarify is that aurora can be seen
north and south.
Yeah. So you have aurora borealis in the north, which means the northern aurora. And you have aurora australis in the south, which is the southern aurora. So that's what aurora is. And that's what Australis is.
It's not named after Australia.
No, it's just because Australis means southern. So in ancient languages.
So the Australians can't go, oh, the Aurora Australis is named after us. No, the Aurora Australis was around before people decided to call Australia Australia.
And basically, it means southern, right, Australia?
Yeah, it does.
Long time ago, I was having a chat with navigator Jack Thatcher, and he was saying to us that Tonga, for example, means south of where they were at the time when they came up with the name. So,
Australia is just a bit like Tonga.
Yes.
From the naming perspective.
From the naming perspective.
And as a holiday destination.
It is, yeah. The other...
A lovely holiday destination, both of them.
The other thing with what's going on in the sky this month is a lot of people pick up from the media the alignment of planets. And that's really wonderful because media says, oh, there's an alignment of planets. And people are like, oh, let's go and have a look at the night sky. So I'm happy for getting people to look up at the night sky. But it's the weird way in which media does it. And sometimes it turns people off because they say, oh, you have to go on 13th of January and look up because that's when it's going to be an alignment of planets. But there's been an alignment of planets since December.
Well, actually, there's been an alignment of planets since the birth of the solar system.
Well, this is in our vicinity. And so
planets are normally, sometime during the day or night, the planets will be in the sky. It's just whether you can see them or not. Is the trick. So at the moment, for example, we've got in the sky right now, in the evening, you've got Venus, then Saturn, then Uranus and Neptune, and then Jupiter. And in fact, Mars rises, I think, about the same time that Venus sets. So you've got all those ones in the sky at the same time. And then if you decide to stay awake until morning, you'll see Mercury. And of course, at any moment, you can just look down and you'll see the Earth. So all of the planets are visible at night at the moment. And it's not an overly rare occurrence. It happens quite a lot.
So this time of the year, we have these wonderful planets in the sky. Last night, we were looking at Mars, and we were looking at Jupiter, and we were looking at Saturn, more or less, because it was a bit cloudy. But when it's not cloudy, Saturn is in the sky and Venus as well. So pretty amazing.
Well, I guess it's too because they hype the meteor showers as well. And sometimes the meteor showers can look all right. Like I was talking to some people the other day, and they were watching the Geminids, and they actually saw about 40 an hour. And that's a pretty good rate to see a meteor shower in New Zealand. So sometimes we do get reasonably good shows. Generally, the northern hemisphere gets them better, but again, it comes down to the conditions. So the meteor showers can be quite variable in their strength. But often you'll get the media makes a big deal of them, and then people go outside and look at them and they get disappointed because they don't see too many. It's just the variability of it. But we had an inquiry the other day for Star Safari. Someone wanted to know if we did aurora tours. Had to explain to them that, well, one, we don't know. We're there all the time. And two, aurora aren't like that. You can't plan it. Aurora can happen during the day. You just don't see them because the sun's out. So the particles arriving from the sun, they can arrive at any time after after there's been a big storm. They don't arrive at a convenient time for our viewing, though. When it does happen at a convenient time, so when the sun's down, that's when you do see them. But you can get them during the day. Then you just obviously can't see them during the day.
But this time of the year is a good time to keep an eye on the sun. I remember when Sam and I lived in Wellington, and every single day Sam would drag the solar telescope out on the window and try and take pictures of the sun for hours, like at least an hour a day, and there was nothing on the sun, like zilch, zip, not even one spot.
Well, I only had about an hour because it wasn't a very good position poking out the window. Then the sun would obviously move out of position. You couldn't capture it. But yeah, it was quiet as. It wasn't even one little. In fact, it was exciting if one sunspot appeared. Now, of course, look at the sun. You're going to see multiple sunspots. You're going to see filaments and prominences. It's going to be busy as. And you may even catch the odd flare. We've seen a couple of flares. In fact, we managed to actually record one. Flare, which is they don't last very long. They last about 20 minutes or so. Just a big brightening of the sun. And of course, it's those big X-class flares that give us the auroras or can do. So if they're big enough and they're pointing in the right direction and everything lines up perfectly, then we get an aurora a couple of days later. So whenever you're watching the news and they're reporting a big X-class flare, wait a couple of days and that's about when we might get an aurora, depending if it's pointing in the right direction.
So in the sky now, there are a few interesting things other than the planets, which is pretty amazing. So the planet's very amazing to look at. Venus, for example, is half, and that's very interesting because Venus can be three quarters, can be crescent Venus, and can be half as well. So really cool, just like the moon.
What do you mean half? Like half a planet?
Like half visible,
Ah, there you
half
go then. Yes,
illuminated by the
yes.
sun, just like the moon is.
Yeah.
And so it kind of like dispels the myth about why the moon is half and why the moon is all these different shapes. When you look at Venus, you kind of like get it, aha, it's because of the position it is, how we see it in relation to the sun. So that's a pretty interesting planet to observe, because you wouldn't think Venus would be just half of Venus. It looks like a I thought it looked like a half a watermelon. That's what it looked to me, but a very shiny one.
Yeah.
Though Venus doesn't have any water that we know of. So it's kind of like a terrible place. It's made of sulfuric acid and carbon dioxide and rocks and things. So you've got Venus, and then you've got Saturn, which is also in an interesting position in that it has its ring is almost side on to us. So you don't see it like that too often. Every year the ring opening varies, and now it's like really closed. And next year there will be a day when we won't see it for a whole day. Unfortunately, we won't be able to see it at all because Saturn would be behind the sun. And then Jupiter is interesting as well because when we grew up, Jupiter had the great red spot that was the size of three Earths, and now it's been getting smaller and smaller and smaller. But we think we managed to see it a couple of days ago through
Yeah,
the clouds.
it was pretty amazing because normally you look at Jupiter if the conditions are good, and you'll see these quite distinct sort
Lines.
of brown cloud bands going across it. In fact, last night and the night before it was very good. You could actually see the smaller cloud bands as well, and like in between and above and near the poles. But so the night before last, we were looking at one of those cloud bands down towards the end of it, towards the edge of the planet. It was clearly disturbed. It was didn't go right all the way across, and so
And
we're thinking.
I checked, and it was the
Oh,
correct,
right.
yeah.
So that was where the great red spot is. So it's, it used to be a few years ago, you could look and you could definitely see this circular orange thing sitting there. Now it's a bit harder to see, though it was kind of towards the edge, which is not the easiest place to see it. But hopefully, the good thing about this southerly that's whipping through seems to be constantly when the sun does, well, not when the sun comes out, but when it's clear. The seeing conditions seem to be pretty good most of the time. So, hopefully we'll time it right for Jupiter's rotation so we can actually see the great red spot. Now, Jupiter spins around in about 10 hours, so that red spot comes around every 10 hours. So to time it, and it doesn't, it's there for a while, like 5 hours, technically, you should be able to see it. So, it's just again that timing right for the convenient moment that you have to be looking in your telescope.
So that was very interesting. And then Mars is interesting as well, because Mars has a dark region on it, which is called Syrtis Major. And that dark region is where Perseverance rover is right now. And sometimes you look at Mars, it has to be higher than perhaps 20 degrees. And you can see a smidge on it. And that smidge is Syrtis Major, which is a prominent feature on Mars. And of course, you can see all of these things, except for Venus being half, if you have really good telescopes, like really large buckets that collect a lot of light. And so, if you collect a lot of light, then you can magnify very well. Because the first question that people ask when they come to Star Safari is how many times your telescope magnifies. And magnification is an interesting one because it's not about how many times your telescope magnifies, but it's how much light does your telescope collect then to be able to magnify it. And so, for example, a really good example, when you look on the internet, so sometimes you download a picture that is it's medium resolution, where you won't be able to blow that up to make it the size of a wall, because if you do, you're going to see the pixels through. So if you have a small telescope that collects light and you can see a tiny little image in it, but if you put a magnification eyepiece there to magnify what you're seeing, you're going to see a blurry stuff. So it's not going to work. So what works is if you have a lot of light that is collected. So that's why the larger the telescope, the better the image that you see. And I mean, to be honest, I'm quite spoiled with our 16-inch telescopes because they're
Well,
pretty amazing.
yeah, so with our 16, well, so we've got the equipment that we could go up to 1,350 times magnification. And you think, oh, wow, that's amazing. We must be able to see like little rocks on the surface of the moon. Well, no, even at that magnification, if it worked, which it doesn't, you still wouldn't see tiny details on the moon. But actually, that magnification, if you actually put that stuff in the telescope and you have a look at something, even during the day, and I've done this because I often play around with the telescopes and look at stuff to see the best configuration for eyepieces and stuff. There's this handy little antenna across the valley from us, sits on a hill, and it's great for lining up the telescopes because it's quite easy to spot because it's right on the ridge line. So when you're aligning the telescopes, you want to find something that's easy to spot because quite often you've got to go searching for it. Anyway, so there's this antenna. So if you zoom in, if you put the, which we stand, we use a 21 mil eyepiece most of the time, and the 21 mil eyepiece is pretty good. It magnifies about 100 times, well, actually a bit less, about 90 times. So in the view, you see the entire antenna, from the ground. It's got some water tanks around it. It goes right up. It's got obviously cell phone stuff on it and whatever else they're using on it. But you can see it quite clearly. It fits in the whole eyepiece. And then if you put like a 10 mil eyepiece in it, it cuts it down quite a lot. So that magnification is sitting around 180 to 200, something like that. But if you get ridiculous and you start loading up real tiny eyepieces and these other lenses called Barlow lenses, what happens, in fact, even when you put the 10 mil in, the image gets a little bit darker because you're not looking at all the light that's collected by the telescope. You're only looking at some of it. And of course, as you zoom in and use a higher magnification or smaller eyepieces, you're looking at less and less and less and less of the light that's collected. So of course, the image gets dimmer and dimmer and dimmer. And so when you really crank it up and you go to that 1,350 times magnification, the image is actually really dark. It's very, very difficult to see anything because it's very, very, it's almost like a half moonlit light night outside trying to look at buildings and stuff. So it's that dark. Plus, the image quality is terrible because you're zooming in on something that's quite blurry and it just gets blurrier and blurrier and blurrier. So practically on most days, going beyond 200 is pointless in our atmosphere too. And this is why they put telescopes on mountains and in
In
space.
space.
Yeah, because then you can crank the magnification right up because you don't have the distortion and refraction that's happening through the atmosphere. And you can see this during the day. If you just look across something, towards a distant hill or something metal or down a road, you see that shimmering. And that's what's messing up the, and then what you're seeing there is actually the refraction of the light getting messed up by the different air pockets. And so that's what happens in space as well. So typically 200 times magnification is about as good as it gets. Sometimes though, it's so much worse than that. When you got that nor'wester blowing, it's stirring everything up. It's just rotten seeing. And basically it's because you've got wind going in different directions at different height. You wouldn't want to magnify more than about 60 times because things look like extraordinarily blurry. And in fact, it's been so bad a couple of times when I thought that I've broken the telescope.
Yeah,
And
same.
we had this the other day, actually, that the seeing was absolutely atrocious. And actually, it was quite clear sky. It was quite nice, quite lovely clear sky. So without a telescope and without any magnification, just looking at it, it looked really lovely. But of course, the moment that you start magnifying anything, you could see the distortion. So all the stars look like little balls rather than point lights. And the planets, they were just dancing around all over the place. You couldn't see any detail at all on Jupiter. And you could barely make out that Saturn even had rings. So I'm thinking, wow, I must have damaged the telescope moving around. Harry was using a telescope as well. So
I thought the same. I
yeah,
thought,
we must have damaged both of them. But
yeah.
no, we didn't. The telescope's pretty robust. They can handle quite a bit of shaking and stuff. And we always collimate and align them before we use them. So they were fine. It was just the conditions were so terrible. Then the next night, crystal clear, perfect. So yeah, it
Yeah.
can
So we
change very
didn't break the
fast.
telescopes,
No, fortunately.
fortunately.
So people always ask about magnification, and they always say, well, if telescopes, it's not about magnification. I mean, that helps you see some. If the conditions are really good, then you can crank the magnification up to about 400 if on those rare nights that everything's really, really good. But typically we're using between 100 and 200. What the key thing is the amount of light you can collect. So you want a lot of light. And also the bigger the aperture of the telescope, the better the angular resolution as well. So you'll see more detail if the conditions are good. Of course, if the conditions aren't good, you're not going to see more detail. You're just going to see more blurry. So that's one of the myths, isn't it, with telescopes? People focus on the
Really interesting.
magnification.
Yeah, and so continuing on, what is it that is interesting to see in the sky? We have some really amazing objects. Obviously, the moon is there, and I have to admit I'm getting a bit mellow about the moon lately. I started looking at it, which I mean, the moon is very interesting. You've got all the craters and everything. So the moon is one thing, and there are so many other things in the sky to look at that. It's a really good thing to do. Stargazing is a really good thing to do when there is no moon in the sky. So what can we see? Well, the Magellanic Clouds are there, and they're really high, and they're really good to observe. So you can see Tarantula Nebula, and you can see 47 Tucanae. And now we're getting into that time of the year when the region that we call Vela Carina and Crux is getting really, really high. So that's the most extraordinary part of the sky in New Zealand. So it's kind of like almost halfway through to the core of the galaxy. So that's where we're looking. So it's kind of like the half point. If you think the galaxy is kind of like from Orion, which is marking the edge of the galaxy, and going on to Scorpius, Crux, and the Diamond Cross and the False Cross, they're kind of like halfway through.
And it's a cool bit of the sky. Like, if you, even if you've got binoculars and you look between Southern Cross and the False Cross, you see a heap of stuff. And some of my favorites are in there. So, one of them is Gem Cluster, which is really, really lovely cluster, similar to Jewel Box, a little bit, wee bit smaller, but there's similar collection of stars. And it's very, and Gem is a very, very young cluster of stars, too. So, from a astrophysics point of view, it's quite an interesting place, and it's quite close to Eta Carinae, which is a real famous structure. It's a big cloud, and it's also a star in there called Eta Carinae, a big giant star. Lots of new stars being born in there, so it's a very active little region. You've got a banana nebula near there, which is quite cool. It's a nebula that, oddly enough, looks like a banana, slightly curved shape. So astronomers, being astronomers, they named it what they saw it, thought it was, rather than just making up something random, which they tended to do. And then you've got some really cool other clusters. So Pearl Cluster is really nice. There's Cat's Paw. No, is Cat's Paw or is it Running Chicken?
Running
Oh,
chicken.
Running Chicken Nebula. Yeah. So that's a nebula that looks like a running chicken. You can't actually see it. You need a camera for that one. And then we've got a really cool cluster, really, really close to the Southern Cross. It's called NGC 4103, and it's got an arrow in it. So the stars are lined up like a little arrow. So you look at it, and it just looks like someone's arranged some stars in the shape of an arrow. It's got a little arrow head, and then the arrow's line. And it's quite cool. I don't know what it's pointing at. Maybe the secret to the universe. But it's a cool little cluster. And it's not only an overly bright one. It shows up really well in our big telescopes because they collect enough light. And there's also a heap of other stuff around there. You've got Wishing Well Cluster. You've got Southern Pleiades, which is quite a big cluster, and it's quite fairly close, so it's spread out a bit. You've got NGC 2808, which is a globular cluster. That's quite a nice one. And just sort of above the False Cross, there's a few galaxies hanging around up there as well. So beautiful patch of the sky. Obviously, you can't see the galaxies when the moon's out, but you can totally see all those clusters when the moon's out. Though 4103 is a bit tricky, especially in a full moon.
So that's why the full moon is not good. But I mean, it's good we have it. But when we want to do real observing, we do it on a night when there is no moon in sight. So we hope to have stirred your curiosity as to what's in the night sky. It's a really, really good time of the year to look. Every time is a good time, but this is a very good time because you don't get frozen completely.
Well, except la well, night before
Except
last.
last night, but that's okay. We're still alive. We're still alive.
Back to wearing thermals,
Yep.
going stargazing, instead of t-shirt.
We made it through last night,
Yeah.
but it is a beautiful sky, and we hope you're going to take a moment and look up and think about all of these wonderful things up there in the sky, and the most incredible thing of them all is that we're actually made from stuff that is made in stars.
So go out and look at those planets. There are lots of them up there at the moment, and they will be for a few months. So, yeah, well, for the next 2 months at least. Cool.
That's all from us from Star Safari and White Space, and we look forward to be
See you next
online
time.
on air on next time.
Bye.
Star Safari. Star Safari.
Star Safari.
Star Safari.
Star Safari.
Deep Sky Adventures.
In the universe.
Deep Sky.
Deep Sky Adventures.
Star Safari.
Star Safari.
Star Safari.